know, tonight I want to address an area that is an important area. In fact, if you don't look at it properly, your own self, you get frustrated. Also, you can get disappointed. I want to talk about finding your place in the body of Christ and functioning there. Now, go to Ephesians 4. Most of you already know part of this anyway. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read from the New Living. I like the way... Now, I don't like New Living on everything, but some of it is really good, and you have to make sure that they don't leave something out. But there's parts of it, when you read it, it's really good because you understand it a lot better. Okay? Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into the unity of our faith and the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. And 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, in the first part of this, Paul mentions specific positions in the fivefold ministry. And then he talks about that these gifts are working in the body of Christ. And then he goes on and tells you why they are needed so that every member can find their place and begin to function properly in the body of Christ. Let's read that again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This actually is supposed to be a picture of the whole body of Christ working together. And it's the ministry gifts that speaks to the rest of the body that gets them in a position so that everyone can function in their place. Therefore, when the whole body of Christ is functioning like it should, the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. You know, not a sick body, dwindling and hateful. Not a body that has people functioning in the visible parts and nobody functioning behind the scenes. We're in the body of Christ. It is not about who you are, what you are. It's about you being in the right place, me being in the right place, and each of us doing what we can in our place. Therefore, the whole body of Christ becomes healthy, growing, and full of love. You know, a lot of people are looking for their place. And, you know, if you notice, that's human nature, really, to be noticed. People like the platform because you're noticed up there. And, you know, a lot of people won't be on the platform, but nobody wants to be on traffic team. A lot of people won't be on the platform, but nobody wants to be working with the children. A lot of people won't be on the platform, but nobody wants to be up in that control room up there making sure that the picture is right and that the live stream is going out. That's work. A lot of people won't, although they'd be glad to get on the platform, but they don't want to stand behind that camera back there and make sure that everything is working properly. Now, I've been in this all of my life, okay? I was born, like I told you, on a Sunday morning. I've been in church all my life. I've been in this all my life. And I have as a kid growing up, my father, when he was pastoring and working there in the church, and I traveled and with him, CP, man, everybody wants to be on a platform. In fact, now this happened years and years ago when the church first started. Back in 85, we started in 85, started this church in 85. People say, oh, Pastor, I want to help you. I want to help. What can I do? Well, I need some help over here with the kids. I need some help with the traffic team. I need an usher. Oh, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to teach. Come on now, don't look at me like that. I told one guy, I said, until you're willing to clean the restroom, you'll never be on the platform. I'm serious. I believe that. Man, everybody looks at me now. Ask my wife when I was associate pastor what I did. I poured concrete. I took all the commodes out of the restroom and put all new ones in. Hello? I mowed grass. I dug some ditches. In fact, one of my friends came by and I was out there working, digging. We were getting ready to do some building and I was digging around where we're going to do some pouring for the foundation. And he said, I thought you were supposed to be the preacher around here. I said, I am. He said, well, what you out here? I said, this is what preachers do. You know, everybody, I played football and basketball and baseball, ran track. But man, just take a football team. Everybody wants to be the quarterback or a running back or a wide receiver. But everybody's not gifted that way. If you can't run fast, don't even think about being a wide receiver. And if a puff of wind blows you down, don't even think about being a running back. You know, people are gifted in certain areas on the team. And when everybody on the team finds their position and functions properly and executes properly, they win. We had a really good running back. And, he thought he was the God's gift to football. So he was talking about how great he was and how many yards he was running and making each game. And before the game, we told the coach what he was going to do. He said, fine, all right, me, I don't care. Because he was tired of him too, because he was good, but he got the big head, you know. And, they called plays different back then. We ran the old T formation. Anybody here ever play football with the T formation? Okay. We ran a 24 dive. Anybody know what a 24 dive is? Yeah. Go in the two back dives between the four hole, in the four hole. So quarterback called up and he handed it to him. The minute he handed it to him, every one of us just fell down on the ground. Nobody blocked anybody. Nobody blocked anybody. Anybody know what happened to him? He started running for his life and he should have went down, but he ran backwards and we lost about 30 yards because he was trying to get away from everybody. And they just obliterated him. We got back in the huddle and the quarterback looked at him and said, "How now you know you can't run anywhere without the rest of us." You know, as the body of Christ, unless we all function in our place with our talents, we're not going to accomplish anything. And that's what the devil likes. He likes to get the people in the body of Christ so trying to do this and trying to do that, that's not even in their skill set in the first place, you know. And so then the body is not healthy and growing and full of love. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. I'm preaching better than the response I'm getting, but that's all right. This is good pastoral teaching. Okay? Every member of the body of Christ has to be valued and viewed as important. Okay? How many of you noticed the other Sunday when there was some little bit of ice around and so forth, that you noticed that around on the sidewalks and so there was salt and stuff to help so that you could melt? That was somebody that got here real early, ahead of everybody else. Nobody sees them, but it was vital that it be done. Kept some of you from falling. Anybody getting what I'm talking about? I mean, we need to value them. We need to value the people that are out there directing traffic and pay attention to them. We need to value the... How many of you have rode any of the shuttles lately that when they're going around the parking lot picking up people? That's a position that needs to be valued. It's not on the platform, no, but it needs to be valued. See, in 1 Corinthians 12, you know where I'm going with this now, anybody that knows anything. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. The foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand. Does that not make it any less a part of the body? And if their ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it less, any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? Or if the whole body was an ear, how would we smell? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And how strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, the body's made up of many different parts. The body of Christ is made up of many different individuals. Some in the body of Christ are paid employees. Some are volunteers. And a better word for that, as far as I'm concerned, excuse me, is the ministry of helps. Some are leaders and some are just part of the team doing their job. You know, some are beginners and some been involved for a long time in the church. But each person in the body of Christ has various giftings and strengths and talents. That's the way God has designed it. He designed the ministry gifts to teach the others so that they can operate where they're supposed to in the body of Christ. And when all of us are doing what we know to do, where we are gifted and talented, then the body of Christ operates properly. You know, now somebody said, well, you don't have any trouble talking. No, I don't. My mother said I started walking and talking when I was 9 months old, and I never shut up. That's what my mom said. In fact, Lynette's heard her say that before. You agree? The kids agree. I can talk to anybody. One time before the church started, we used to. I was traveling all the time, and I'd take off about every 6 weeks. I'd take off a weekend and with the kids and Lynette, and we'd go four-wheeling out Little Sahara or go to some camp. Well, she'd cook some food, and so She said, "Where's your dad?" I said, "Oh, we don't know." And she said, "Well, just start walking through the campground because he's talking to somebody." I've never had any, because you see, I don't, that's just something that I can do. Crowds have never bothered me. I mean, I started being in plays and doing stuff in front of a crowd when I was in the first grade. I did it all the way through school. You know, but see, all of us have certain gifts. And many of those gifts God can use in his body. He gives each of us certain things. We are designed to work like the human body. You know, the brain is a part of the human body that gives direction to all the rest of it. You'd be in trouble if you didn't have your brain. If you didn't have a brain, you couldn't pick up this Bible. Because the brain is what tells the muscles in the arm, and it tells, okay, go pick up that Bible. Now, I can reach my hand down there, but if the brain don't tell my hand to close around that Bible, I'm not going to pick it up. Come on now. I mean, that's a silly illustration. It's the same way. Christ is the head of the church. And he gives the signals and tells those in the body where to operate. Every person is important and should be valued so. Now, you would think it very funny if the ear was out here on the elbow. Come on. See, we shouldn't look at different people that function in the body of the church and the body of Christ. We should not look at them and say that those visible positions are more important than those that are never seen. You cannot put more value on those that are seen than on those that are unseen. You can't try to put more value on people who are like you than you do those that do things differently. Come on now. I'm getting down there where you live right now. We must value each other who has different values, different giftings than what I do or you do. It takes what all of us can do together to accomplish the will of God in the body of Christ and in our body of our church. When we learn what part is ours, and then settle in and function there, we'll see as individuals we begin to blossom, and we see as a church we begin to become more successful. It takes various people with various giftings. You know, how many have ever listened to a full orchestra? Yeah. And you know what? They all play musical instruments. And some of them can switch back and forth on various musical instruments. But very seldom are you going to see a trumpet player go back and start playing the violin. But, hey, they get noticed more than I am back here. So, okay, we're all going to just switch around and we're going to go play whatever instrument we want to play. What do you think it would sound like? Chaos. Somebody got it over there. It's when each one takes the instrument that they know how to, they have perfected their talent in that area. You know, I get the opportunity to walk by that drum cage quite a bit and these keyboards, and I notice that all of them know how to play and all of them are good, but I notice that all of them play it a do it a little differently, but it still sounds good. See, just because one, if you're two people can do the same job in the body, but this one might do it a little bit different than this one. But people get crossways. Well, he's not doing it like it ought to be done. Is the job getting accomplished? That's what's important. God is looking for people that are willing to forget about how important they are, whether anybody ever knows their name or not. He's looking for people that are willing just to go to work for him in his body and accomplish what we can to win the world for God. That's what he's looking for. But we, in our humanity, we've got these ideas that this is more important than teaching those kids in that Sunday school room or in that classroom. You know, I talk about it all the time, but I mean, I go back to when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. They called it a junior. I was in our Sunday school in the church I was in. And Kenneth Turner, that man never was on the, in all of his life, he never was on the platform. All he ever did was teach boys' Sunday school class and work with boys. He would go out on Sunday morning. He worked at Ford Manufacturing Company in Dallas, Texas, which is not operating anymore. And he always bought a station wagon because he would go out every Sunday morning and drive down the street. He'd see young boys playing. He would stop and ask them if they would like to go to church, and then he'd see, get permission from their parents, bring them to church. He took us out on camping trips. But he would use nature to teach spiritual principles when we were out there. I was a part of that class. He never knew that where I would wind up and what I'd wind up doing. He just was functioning where he felt that God had wanted him to function with his talent. I made a special effort. Lynette will tell you, I made a special effort to go to his funeral. She will tell you that that church was full of men. My age at that time, I think, what was I, in my 30s, I guess, walking by, paying respects to Kenneth Turner, because every one of them was successful in life because of that man. Nobody, he never stood on that platform and spoke a word to anybody. But he would function in his position, and it made a great impact. The enemy will try to tell you that your position is not important in the body of Christ. He'll tell you that since you're not up front where everybody can see you, you're not important. He will try to tell you that nobody appreciates you. See, you got to realize who you are and what your talents are and operate where God has you to operate. Yeah, I'm the pastor of this church. I'm president of Kenneth Hagin Ministries and Rhema Bible College and all of them that's all over the world. I'm the head of that. But you know what? I'm not a detailed person. My wife will tell you, and my daughter and my baby will tell you, I'm not a detailed person. I'm a visionary and I have ideas. Hey, when they start getting into working with details, I'm out of there. That's not what I do. You see, you need to learn where you function best. And I still tell them this. I used to tell when Tony Cook was here, his associate, and we were talking about, well, we need to do this, and this is a great thing to do. I said, it is. Put it together, Tony, and I will present it and sell it to the people. Now, I don't mean that egotistically, but that's what I can do. That's part of what I realize where I'm at. But don't put me doing something else. I'm not. Don't put me trying to lead no music. Now, I can sing, but that's not what I'm gifted at. And Anthony Washington, he's sitting right over there. If you hear him, when we're out on crusades, he always talks about coming to Rhema and what Rhema meant to him and so forth. But he'll tell you that he went the first 2 years in the Corps, but they changed the title of it. Ministry Fundamentals. And then he said he chose pastors. And of course, the first class he had was mine. And the first thing I say out of my mouth, so you think you want to be a pastor? And I bring up the worst scenario that you could ever face as a pastor. And he'll say, I found out real quick, I'm a praiser. And if I never do anything else but lead worship, I've heard him say it. Because he said, he found his place. See, many times we think we want to do something else, but hey, maybe we're not gifted to do that. It'd be great what would it be like if we were all gifted to like? See, we need to develop a greater appreciation for the different body members in the body. You know, how many of you appreciate your ears? Or your eyes, or your feet, or your legs, or your hands? They're all important, and everybody sees them. But now, how many of you appreciate a muscle inside of your chest called a heart? Nobody ever sees it. But it is vital for your health if you're going to live. Nobody ever sees your brain, but without it, you're gone. Nobody ever sees the lungs, but without them, you're in trouble. Hey, I know that's way out there, but that's the way it is in the body of Christ, in the church. There are a lot of people that are vitally important that nobody ever sees. Hello? How many ever turn around back there and watch Ben back there running the sound? He's vitally important because without him back there, all of a sudden I go off. Look how important it is. Go ahead, keep it up. So you can hear? But see, that's a vital position back there. Nobody ever thinks about it. I'm on that screen. But without those two people on those cameras back there, I'm not going to be on that screen. And without the people sitting up back there in that room up there that nobody ever sees, you're not going to have that picture. How many of you enjoy having the words of the songs up there? There's a person up there that has to punch buttons to make sure that they're up there. You never see them, but they're important. Does anybody get what I'm trying to say to you? You know, we've got to recognize each member in the body and how important their giftings and their callings and their abilities are. Because when everybody recognizes everybody else in the body and everybody's where they're supposed to be, now we have a healthy, growing church that's full of love. I got 5 minutes. I got quite a few more pages. Romans 12. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts, doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If you're given leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, it's talking about different things that different people do in the body. One of them there says, there are certain people that God blesses to make money, to give to the body of Christ. So don't be wanting to be on the platform if God's given you the ability to be a really good business person. Come on now. You know, these gifts are mentioned here, and I want you to notice that they're not talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. These are talking about people in the church. You know, God has gifted some people to function in the body in their place where they just minister kindness to people, show kindness. God creates some people with the ability to be, you know, just to be able to be that way. Pastor Bill and I've been in this for over 60 years, preaching myself, is the best pastoral care pastor that people will ever see. He has a special gift for doing that. Oh, I can visit hospitals. I can do that. And the other guys can too. But I mean, I can do it, but that's not really my best gift. See, a lot of you can do a lot of things, but some things are not really your best gift. Now, if there's nobody else, I'll go to the hospital. I did it when I was an associate pastor. My wife always, she tells this on me all the time. We were visiting somebody in the hospital and the person, they were doing pretty good anyway. And the person finally said, "Pastor, I know you really got a lot on your mind. I'm doing good. Go do the other things that you need to do." Didn't they? Huh? Because I was fidgety. Yeah. Now, I'm using my own self. That's not my best gift. I can do it. But it's not where I am. God has gifted me best at. And a lot of you can do a lot of things, but you need to get where God has gifted you best at. Huh? Emergencies? Hey, I can shine there. Ron and Willeen waving their hands at me. That's longtime church members. In fact, Tony Cook years ago, he called me and said, "Pastor, I need you at the emergency room because I had to handle a situation." And I told that head nurse she wasn't letting parents back to see a 16-year-old kid that was underage, and she was letting everybody else back, but the girl said she didn't want to see them and she wasn't letting them back. I told that nurse at that hospital, I said, "I want to tell you a little secret. If you don't let them parents back there immediately, when I get through with you, I'm going to own this hospital." Now somebody said, well, that's getting tough. Sometimes you have to get tough. Because, hey, that's a minor. You can't refuse the parents just because the minor says she doesn't want to see them. How many of you realize that? But hey, I can. They tell me all the time, say, Pastor, you can walk into a situation, you can grab it, and you can handle it. I said, I don't know how. They say, how do you do that? In fact, I've had some pastors ask me, we've seen you do it. How do you do that? I said, I don't know. That's just something that I have. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but some of you need to realize where your real giftings are and get involved there. We talk about Harold Pillars in this church. Harold Pillars was an usher the first day we started in 1985, October of 1985. Harold is still an usher today. And he told me one time, he said, this is what I do. This is who I am. And this is what I do because this is my place. When everybody in the whole church gets like that, man, we're going to begin to do something. A missionary can come and talk. And they're passionate about what they're doing. And they talk about what God's called them to do and what's going on. And the next thing you know, people are getting, I need to go to mission field. No, you don't. You need to pray for him and send him money. Let him do what he's gifted to do. And you do what you're gifted to do. Come on now. You know, some people get locked into doing same way all the time. Got to be done that way. Well, wait a minute. It don't have to be done the same way. Focus on what God has you doing and let the people do what they're supposed to do. Avoid determining your value just because you're not on the platform. As far as I'm concerned, those people working behind scenes back here with these kids are far more important than I am. Because they are molding and shaping lives. And those kids, when they're taught the word and how to believe God, they won't have to go through some of the things that you went through. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, well, you know, some people work in a position for a while and, well, let somebody else do it. No. There's no retirement with God. You keep on doing what you got to do. And it's time for me to quit, and I still got more to talk about. But I'm on real quickly. We learn to function where we are according to our ability. Matthew 25, there is the story of the talents. He gave one man five talents, one man two talents, one man one talent. He gave the talents according to their abilities. And when the master came back, the five talent guy, he had done his job, got five more. Two talent guy done his. The one talent guy buried his. If you read the story, you'll find out that the five talent guy and the two talent guy both got the same reward. Although one had more ability than the other. And the guy that didn't do nothing with his talents that he was given, they took it away from him, give it to the man that had done more with his. And he said, kick this guy out. Come on now. I'm reading what the Bible said. I didn't say that. But we need to realize that is an example of Jesus Christ giving to the body of Christ talents to be used and developed. And when he comes back, he's going to pass out the rewards. Some people are going to be rewarded. See, just because I preach up here doesn't mean that I'll get a greater reward than you, what you get. Remember, the guy with the five talent guy and the two talent guy got the same reward. I'm just going to say it. The guy that had the one talent and didn't do anything with it, he got kicked out. Whoa. Somebody said, I don't like that. Well, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Read it. Matthew, go read it. Matthew 25, 14. Says the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by that. Some people may want to sing, but I tell you what, nobody gonna be blessed. Because some people think that's more valuable than what I'm doing. More valuable to sing than it is to usher. No, it's not. Reward's going to be the same. It all comes back. Are you working where you're supposed to be with your talents in the body? And if you are, then your reward is going to be the same as the man that everybody sees, or the person that everybody sees. Now, real quick, let me. Is it okay if I go over time tonight? I'm really hitting some high points on this last, but I got to get this last point. It's got to get in here. I ran track in high school, and I'm going to use some track language to help us find our place. Every believer has to identify their lane and run in it. You are assigned a lane, and you got to run in that lane. You got lines. If you step out, you're disqualified. If you step out of your lane, you stay in your lane. You know what? When you're running, you kick out, go. You got to get that leg up and kick that leg out there and get that. I used to could do it good. I could fly. And my focus is in that lane. I don't care what this guy's doing. I don't care what's over here. My focus, there's two white lines right there. And my lane is this lane, and I stay in my lane. Don't get over in his lane. Identify the lane you're to run in. The lane that you're to run in is where God's got you, where he's called you, where your talents and your strengths are. That's your lane. Every member of the body must focus on running on their lane. Don't compare yourself to what's happening on the right or the left. Don't be distracted by what everything else is going on around you. Your focus is down that lane. That's where the finish is. Who cares what this guy's doing? Who cares what this fella's doing over here, or this person? If they're doing what God told them to do and you're doing what God told you to do, then the body's functioning properly. I cannot run my lane and focus on my lane but being concerned about what's this guy over here. What he does, that's his business, not mine. Then you got to stay in your lane. I've already said that. Don't disqualify yourself by getting out of your lane. Don't quit when it gets hard. Stay focused. The reward comes at the end. And you can read there, I don't have time to read it, 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 27, talks about running in the race. You see, don't get distracted. I was fast, very fast, but I wasn't quick fast. And if you don't know nothing about track, there are some people that are quick fast. After five steps, they're at full speed, sprinters. And they can hold it for 100 yards or for maybe 200 yards. Well, back then it was the 220 yards. That's what I ran. You know what? I was, my coach said, he said, Hagin, you're not quick fast, but you're faster than all them. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, haven't you ever noticed? It's the, in the, you're behind until about that last 30 yards and you blow by people like some of them standing still. And they're still running at the same pace they was when they started. I said, well, yeah. And I got to watching. And I still remember this. I was running in Fort Gordon, Georgia, and was in the Army. We come in one day. We come in from after we'd gone to signal school, and after we were fixing to be dismissed, have chow, and then do what you needed to do that, you know, to get ready for the next day. And they called out a bunch of us. His name, mine, one of them, said to. Company commander wants to meet with you after chow. So to report such a place. We got over there and they were having a big May Day celebration and big marching, and but they were going to have a big track meet. And the colonel said he wanted our battalion to win the thing. So he said, all of you guys, it says y'all ran track. So we want y'all to run. Well, a lot of the guys didn't do it. And I got to noticing, of course, I was, by that time, I was 23. And those kids were younger. And I don't want to do that. And they wrote their name down. I noticed everybody that said, yeah, I'll run. I'll do it. And didn't get their name wrote down. I'm smart enough to know, hey, them guys going to be on guard duty in KP from now to the cows come home. And I see my two retired Marines sitting there shaking their heads. And so here we are, and we're running in there, and I got myself ready, and I've got to win the 220 in order for us to win the trophy. I've got to win it. Well, we took off. Hunter said, take your marks, set. Pow! We're gone. Man, I'm turning with everything. I got my eyes set. I'm looking my lane. I got the finish line, and I'm behind. And the guy's in front of me, and I'm going. They said, the lieutenant, he said, oh, no. He knew he was going to get in trouble. So he left. They had to go get him out of the car because that last 30 yards, I mean, I'm coming down through there, and I could see if you know anything about it, when you start getting to the point and you're starting to hurt, you start to tighten up and you tighten your fists like that, and you can see those muscles. Any of you run track know what I'm talking about? I saw these guys in front of me. I saw those muscles in their shoulders starting to tighten up. I said, you guys are toast. I'm just now kicking. I was just kicking in good. I blew by all of them and won the race, and they had to go get the lieutenant because he had already gone to the parking lot to come and accept the trophy. But you see, I wasn't distracted because I was behind. I wasn't distracted because of what they were doing. I kept my eyes on the finish line, and I kept doing what I was supposed to do, and I won. See, let us learn where our lane is. Let us learn what our talent is. And let us then begin to appreciate and to value each other and focus on being what we're supposed to be, and let them be what they're supposed to be. And then the church and individuals will be healthy, growing, and full of love. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this today? That's some of the best Wednesday night teachings that I have done in a long time. Now, after that teaching, I need to see some people getting involved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word tonight. May each of us realize where we are, what we're supposed to be doing, and get involved or get back involved. If we have been involved and we sat down on the sideline, let us realize that there is no time to sit down on the sideline, but we all need to get up and begin to work like we're supposed to. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand, please. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you happen to be in here tonight and you know what it is to serve God, but you realize that you're not just where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life? Or you want somebody to play with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or you want somebody to pray with you for healing? Or you need somebody to pray with you about anything? As we're dismissed, the ladies are over here and the men are over here. You come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock at School of the Bible, 10 o'clock morning worship. Connection team, go find those first time guests and take them to get that special gift. And if you're looking for a church home, why don't we say, church, welcome home. Just come and join our family. We have a great time serving God around here, unlimited, both in the natural and the spiritual. We're so glad to have you. Give them a big hand again. Thank you for being with us tonight. All right. Remember this. Find your place. Get there and do what you're supposed to do. And if we all operate where we're supposed to, we're going to have a healthy what? What do I keep saying? A healthy, come on, help me out. Healthy, growing, full of love body of Christ and church. Amen? Praise God. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'll see you Sunday. God bless.